Thanks for reading for us, Josh. My name is Michael, and I'm one of the pastors of this church. I'm going to be speaking from that passage. If you ask me the question, what do I think makes an adult different from a child? I was kind of thinking through that question this week, and I came up with a very profound answer that both adults and children will wear hoodies, but an adult will never use the hood. That's the best answer that I could think of, but we're going to see from the Bible what Jesus has to say about that and what Jesus has to say about whether children have a place in God's family. And so I'm going to pray for us before we get into God's word. Please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Jesus. Thank you for his perfect life. Thank you for his sacrificial death. And thank you for his boundless love for us. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus' words and deeds have been recorded in the Bible for us to learn from and so that we may follow the King. Lord, we pray that we may have the same heart for children as Jesus does. And we pray that this might give glory and honor ultimately to you. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at first, it might seem like in a society like ours that the question of children might not need to be a question that needs to be asked. We might ask ourselves the question, do children have a place in God's family? And we would instinctively think to ourselves, well, of course children have a place in God's family. We love children. We invest so much in our children. Children are cute. They are fun. They are innocent. They are little balls of joy and potential. Of course children have a place. But holding a view like that would be to ignore a sentiment that is very, very real and growing in the society that we live in, that children do not have a place. They do not have a place in family, and they do not have a place in society, and they do not have a place in God's family. We see this in married couples increasingly choosing not to have children. There is an association that exists called the British Association of Non-Parents who identify themselves by their conscious decision not to have children. But we can also see this in married couples that are having children because married couples are generally having fewer children. For some couples, pets are taking the place of kids. There are some parents who call their pets fur babies. Some pet owners calling themselves mums and dads to their pets, as if the pet is taking the place of the child. And of course, in society, we see the practice of abortion becoming more widely accepted as well. When people are surveyed about the reasons why they do not have children, the most popular responses are that children interfere with their lifestyle. People have concerns about overpopulation and the environment, or people just don't see themselves as parents. There's a growing view in our society that children are an inconvenience, that children are an annoyance, that children do not have a place in polite society. As the old saying goes, children should be seen and not heard, but it seems like in our society now, people are saying that sometimes they should not even be seen. We might think that this is a particularly Western view, but it's not actually. It's a view that goes all the way back even to the time of Jesus, and it's the view that we see in Luke chapter 18. And this gives us a chance to see what Jesus says about children, to see whether they have a place in God's family, but also to see a very surprising thing that Jesus says about us as well and what that means for us getting right with God. And so we're around 2,000 years ago in our passage today, sometime between AD 30 and AD 33. Jesus has been going through the towns and villages of ancient Israel, performing amazing miracles, teaching amazing things. In this part of Luke, he is traveling toward Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the place where Jesus knows that he is going to be condemned and killed for saying that he is the King of the Jews and that he has come to seek and to save the lost. His disciples are following him. These are the chosen 12 of Jesus, his friends who are following him to Jerusalem. And on their way, this party, they meet some people who bring their children to Jesus. And we see what happens in verses 15 to 17. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. That word there, infants, in verse 15, it can mean babies, or it can also mean children that are old enough to be taught. I think for this particular passage here, for the age of these kids here, well, it says later that Jesus called them to him. So they have to be old enough at least to be able to understand instructions. But these parents are bringing their kids to Jesus so that Jesus would touch them. It's another way of saying that they wanted Jesus to bless them. But this desire of parents for Jesus to bless their kids wasn't a desire that the disciples agreed with, because they saw this and they rebuked the parents for it. You can kind of imagine what's going on in their heads and hearts. Jesus is much too busy to spend his time with children. Jesus got so many more important things to do than just sign autographs. You know, don't you know who this guy is? You know, this is a very, very important person that you're dealing with. And this was a very common view of children at the time as well. You know, children could not do anything. Children don't create resources. They're a drain on resources. Children are not productive. Therefore, they are not welcome. See, for the disciples, children do not have a place in God's family. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think this is an attitude that we share a little bit as well. Now, I reckon that there are arenas of our lives, maybe even most of our lives, that we would consider off limits to kids. Most obvious one would be work. I know that a lot of workplaces have bring your child to work day, but come on, you know, when you bring your child to work, you don't get work done when your children are running around everywhere. You know, there is a reason why bring your child to work day isn't every day. You know, can you imagine if you had to do that every day? There's a little comic that sums up Bring Your Child to Work Day that goes, "Today our office will be overrun by smaller and even whinier versions of ourselves." You know, as much as the disciples had that attitude to children, we also have that attitude to children. We also feel like children get in the way. It's a sentiment that is encapsulated when we use the phrase on kids, "Be quiet, the grown-ups are talking." That is the disciples, that is our world, and that is us. Children do not have a place in God's family. But then Jesus speaks to our attitude. And the first thing that Jesus says is that he has a very important lesson about children. And we see that in verse 16 of our passage. So to start at verse 16, it says, "But Jesus called them to him, saying, 'Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God.'" So Jesus says two things. He says, "Let the children come to me." And then he says, "Do not hinder them." The two sides of the same coin. First thing he says is, "Let the children come to me." Jesus is saying there, he's not too busy for children. He's not too important for children. It seems like in our world, it is a respectable thing to be busy. To be busy is to be important. People often boast about how they don't have time for people because of how important their work is. But Jesus was the most important person in the world. Jesus was the Messiah. He was God's chosen king. Jesus was the Son of God. If anyone had an excuse to be busy with important work, it was Jesus. But Jesus still found time to hang with children. Jesus wants children to come to him. And then the second thing that Jesus says is, "Do not hinder them." And I think that Jesus here is getting at a tendency that adults have when they interact with kids, which is to make simple things unnecessarily difficult for children. Now, we just make things hard for them sometimes. I reckon if I asked every parent in this room, we would all agree that we want our children to feel loved. We want our children to feel capable. We want our children to be happy. Now, we say we want all those things, but then we do all sorts of things that hinder our children getting those things. Now, Jesus is saying here that people do the same thing with the kingdom of God. People make the kingdom of God unnecessarily complex. They establish all sorts of hoops that a person has to jump through in order to be a legitimate Christian. You know, you've got to read this much of the Bible. You've got to pray this particular kind of prayer. You've got to go to church this many times and do the kinds of things that people do there. We can also make it hard by discouraging children and exasperating them. You know, we make children so bitter toward us that they feel like the best thing to do is the opposite of what their parents do. Jesus is saying here, look, getting into the kingdom of God, it's not that complicated, right? Don't hinder children from doing it. If I ask you the question, what do you think a person has to do to be part of God's family? What do you think a person has to do to be part of God's family? You think about that answer in your head. Whatever your answer is, can a child do it? Because if a child can't do it, you are probably wrong. Jesus is saying here, children do have a place in God's family. Jesus has time for children. Jesus has a heart for children. Jesus wants children to be with him because Jesus doesn't value people by how productive they are. Jesus just values people. And Christians throughout history have taken this teaching of Jesus and they've been inspired by Jesus' heart for children and they have brought this into their own lives. In the early days of the church, just after Jesus was raised from the dead, if you had a deformed baby, the best philosophers of the time considered it immoral and unethical to let that baby live. It was considered reasonable for parents to leave their children out in the streets or on the dung piles of the city or out in the wilderness for animals to kill. And in those times, it was Christians who spoke out against this. It was Christians who established orphanages and collected funds to care for exposed infants. And it was the early Christian emperors who outlawed the practice of exposure. Gary Ferngren, who wrote a book called Medicine and Healthcare in Early Christianity, he writes, in their blanket condemnation of exposure, the Christians implicitly affirmed the right of even the defective to live. Christians have a heart for children, regardless of their productivity, simply because they are made in the image of God. And Christians nowadays do this in all sorts of ways as well. You know, Christians nowadays show their love for children by having children. Christians believe that one of God's purposes for marriage is godly offspring, and that's why most Christian married couples will aim to have children unless there are good reasons not to do so. Christians will show their love for children by investing in children. Churches have Sunday schools so that children can be taught God's word in a way that they can understand. Christian parents will give time and attention and love to their children. As the saying goes, the only people who will remember that you worked late are your kids. Christians will also try and foster intergenerational relationships between younger children, older children, parents, families, and the rest of the church as well. And that is part of what we're trying to do here at Cross Life Church. Because at our church, children belong. Jesus says about children, they have a place in God's family. But even though that lesson about children was both profound and powerful, Jesus actually has an even bigger lesson from our passage today. And it's not actually about children. It's about adults. It's about everyone. And we see that in the second half of verses 16 and 17 as well. So the second half of verse 16, Jesus says, For to children belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. You see, according to Jesus, children should not just be loved by adults. Children should also be an example to adults. Who do you think that you have to follow to be part of God's family? Maybe you would think that you'd have to follow some sort of religious holy man, some sort of monk, or maybe some popular and influential preacher who has a big following on YouTube, or maybe some notable Christian writer, right? These are the kinds of people who we should follow, right? Well, Jesus says no. Jesus says here, the example to follow to get into God's family is children. Why would he say this? You know, what is it about children that Jesus is calling people to emulate? Well, I think especially here, Jesus is talking about children's need and their dependence. That is what we should realize. That is what we should follow, because that's what children are, aren't they? From the time that children are born, children are completely dependent on others to provide for them. Their parents provide food, shelter, instruction, and guidance. You know, children can't get any of this themselves. They need others to give it to them, and they know they need these things. That's why children ask. It's why they complain. It's why they whinge. It's because children are needy. Children are dependent. And Jesus is saying that that's what we have to be like with God. And this was what Jesus did as well. Jesus was completely dependent on God. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 19, "The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." And so what Jesus is doing here is he's cutting through that pretension that adults have that somehow they are superior to children. You know, when it comes to God, that is completely not the case. When it comes to God, adults and children are all equally in need. We're equally dependent on God to save us and bring us into his family. Because whether we are adults or children, all of us have equally sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are equally deserving of the judgment of God. And all of us are equally saved only because God loved us and sent his son Jesus to take that judgment for us by dying for us. And all of us are equally able to be in God's family only by depending completely on God. You see, in all of those respects, there is no difference between adults and children. When it comes to God, adults and children are exactly the same. And I don't think this should be too hard for us to believe, because honestly, I reckon that we, adults, are more like children than we think. I'm sure that you've probably seen this in the people that you work with. Maybe you've seen it also in your own parents. And if you're really, really honest, you have probably also seen this in yourself. That we are just as prone to pettiness. We are just as prone to whinging. Just as prone to being distracted. We have our own versions of tantrums and name-calling that we do. They're just adult versions of them. And an adult is just better at hiding these things or making ourselves look sophisticated when in reality we are just like kids. It is only a slight exaggeration to say that an adult is just a child with an income. And God is not fooled by that pretension, right? And so when Jesus calls us to be like little children, he's calling us to admit that we are not as good as we pretend. And to be like a child and ask God, "God, I don't deserve to be in your family. I don't deserve to be judged. But please, in your mercy, give me what I don't deserve." Jesus says that being like a child is also trusting that God will let us in, because we know that he loves us and he sent his son Jesus to die for us. That is Jesus' lesson for us. And Cross Life Church is a place for people who do this. We don't pretend to be good people. We don't want to have that pretension that somehow we are more mature than the rest of the world. But what we do know is that we are loved by God and we depend on God to save us and make us better. And if you believe that too, then you are more than welcome to join us. And so do children have a place in God's family? Well, we've seen from Jesus that the answer is definitely yes. Jesus loves children. He welcomes them. He wants them in God's family, and he values them not because of what they can produce. Jesus values them simply because they exist. And that is good news for us, because we are just like children before God. There is nothing good that we can do for God by ourselves. We're not productive as far as God is concerned. There is nothing we can boast in. There's nothing that we can give to God from our own natures. All we can do is depend on God, trust God, and ask God to save us and to come into his family. And thank God that he does this, because he sent his son Jesus to die for us. Can you be a child before God? Let me pray that we will. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Jesus' teaching about children. Thank you that he loves children. Thank you that he values them. Thank you that he says that they have a place in your family. And thank you that he also said that to such as them belongs the kingdom of God. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be a church, we might be a people that loves and values children as well, and seeks to show them that they can be part of your family too. But Lord, we also pray that we might not just have children as our objects of love, but also as our example when it comes to you. Please help us to recognize that before you, we are just as needy and dependent as the neediest and dependent, most dependent child in the world. Please help us to recognize that we can't do anything by ourselves to get to you, that we completely need you to save us, to love us, and to bring us in. And Lord, we pray that we may rely on you to save us, rely on you to shape us, and to know that the cross of Jesus is the cross that helps to save us and shape us. And Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.